Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back, you guys. It is the 4 o'clock hour. That is what we call the pre-power hour.
Yes, as opposed to
it's not really the power hour.
The hot 5 at 5 is really where we start to power through.
Yeah.
The warm 4 at 4 is the tip.
Yeah, we're like on the tarmac right now.
There you go. We've closed the doors, right? We're preparing for departure.
Yeah, we're giving the whole two overhead, four doors, two in the rear, two, you know.
Has that ever saved anyone's life in the history of aviation?
I tell you what, man, every time I get on an airplane and they do that crap,
yeah.
I can't say that I always listen, but I do look for the exits.
You know, they're
because
you know the exits are where they've been since the start of
airplanes. It makes me feel better to get my bearings. And I do think that, you know, yeah, you should pay attention to that.
Okay.
Because it could, you know,
really?
That plane starts spiraling down, bro.
Hate to tell you this, man, but if the plane starts spiraling down, kiss your ass goodbye. You don't hear a lot of like 747 goes down. 17 passengers survive.
80% of airplane deaths are after impact.
Commercial?
Did you know that?
Commercial airlines?
But air crashes are never really like a plane 30,000 feet and then just plummeting.
Yeah.
I mean, that does happen and then you're dead.
Yeah.
But most of the time
you skid off the runway
it's
or
other
something.
Things.
Yeah. You know.
Like you remember those two girls in San Francisco. Remember that plane?
That is the worst story ever. The plane clipped. There's a runway in San Francisco that's pretty precarious.
Right on the water.
Right on the water. And the back of the airplane clipped. He came in too low. Clipped the waterway there. Plane caught on fire, skidded to a stop. Plane's up in flames. They do the little emergency slide or whatever. Two people get out and a gall darn ambulance and fire. I forget which one it was.
It was a fire truck.
Hit him.
Killed him.
It was all smoky and fire, and are you freaking kidding me? You're just out there in a cloud of smoke. You're like, oh, thank God, I'm free. And then
you're like, whew, that was a close
that
call.
That happens?
That's a bad day.
Hell yeah, that's a bad day.
It's a bad day.
And they
died.
And by the way, I feel horrible for the fire truck driver, right? He's like, oh, let's, you know, we got to get there. We got to save people. And you run over someone? Dude, that's just, that was the Sumteen Wong.
It was.
Yeah.
Famous.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you what, that is one of the greatest bits of all time.
Yeah, so
Sumteen Wong.
Yeah, someone called in and said that there was like listed the names of the passengers, right? The deceased.
It was somebody that worked there. It was somebody that worked there.
Oh.
And they put the screen up and they said into the anchor's ear. This is the greatest YouTube. I swear to God, this is one of the greatest pranks of all time. And it's on YouTube and you should watch it if you don't know what we're talking about, but most of you know it. They found out who it was and they fired him.
Yeah.
But he gets in her ears like, here they are. We got the names of the pilots. And it's Wee Chu Lo.
Yeah. And Sumteen Wong.
No, there's four of them. It's Wee Chu Lo, Sum Ting Wong, Bang Ding Ao, and...
See, I just remember the Wee Too Low and the Sum Ting Wong.
There's one more.
And they read it.
And she read it.
She read it.
Oh, she read it. And it was great.
Criminy sakes.
Anyway, that guy got fired.
Yeah.
Apparently he was like some just disgruntled
He's like, hey,
producer or something. Oh, sorry, Mike.
Oh, and by the way, I found the official thing that Bob Bowlesby said on proceeding.
Big 12 commish.
Yeah, Big 12 commish. He said, our medical professionals have told us.
The other one?
Yeah.
Holy fook.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was the other one. He said, our medical professionals have told us, move forward, go slowly, make adjustments as needed. And if we get to a point where our doctors say you have two wheels off the track and you're headed for a wreck, we pivot that day. Now, it's interesting because the boner, Mike Bone, the USC AD, he said, in my view, no reasonable minded individual could see the facts that were presented by our medical experts and believe we had any other option at this time. And Bowlesby's response to that was, we can look at that same data and come to different conclusions.
Yeah. You bought called him Bowlesby. He is Bowlesby. Well,
because he says that their medical doctors are telling them something different. And that was his whole thing. He goes, you know, in California and Texas right now, you have the virus that's kind of raging out of control. And yet Texas is going to play high school football and California isn't. So his point was, our scientists have come to a conclusion that's different, and that's fine. He said the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are seeing much of the same information that we're seeing, but our board believes that our scientists have come to a conclusion that's different and we're comfortable with. So you literally have the same data, and you've got one group saying it's universal, we can't do this, and another group saying, ah, let's give this a whirl.
Well, you know, there really isn't a right or wrong.
No.
It's just kind of goes back to your sensibilities and your level of risk tolerance, as you mentioned.
Weeks ago, I think it might have been Pat Forty that had it on the Paul Feinbaum show. He simply said because everyone's speaking off the records. He said one Power Five athletic director said simply, this all boils down to what is your appetite for risk? Right. And he said some will have greater than others. Everyone knows that the smartest, safest thing to do is what the Big Ten and the Pac-12 did. But we know there's other factors at play and there's different appetites for risk. And I'm willing to guess that the SEC will have the greatest appetite. And if there's anyone that's going to push through it, it'll be the SEC.
So here's what the Pac-12 players said, and this is that group, We Are United.
Yeah.
They're the Pac-12 player group. They said, it's obvious that the Pac-12 was woefully unprepared to protect college athlete safety in response to COVID-19 and could not address the basic and essential safety demands made by hashtag We Are United. The Pac-12's failures have made it clear that the time for change is now. The system is broken. College athletes deserve and need a real voice in the form of a players association.
Well,
and a scathing shot at the league.
Sure. I think that, I don't think that the We Are United stuff played a huge role in it. Everything I've read, I think it was a concern that it was another thing on top of everything else that's going on. I think it might've been the cherry on top, but I just think it's the liability thing.
Yeah. But how many Pac-12 players are sitting there going, God, man, Big 12's going to play.
Yeah.
SEC is going to play.
Yep.
I want to play.
Yeah.
You know, how many guys are doing that?
I think you
probably
got
a lot of them.
I think you got a lot. And it's going to be hard.
You know, a lot of coaches are.
Oh,
they don't know what to do with themselves.
No. And they're going to, and you know, we've seen a couple, mainly, I mean, Scott Frost is bitching and moaning about this. And
see, I think that he's embarrassing himself.
I agree.
I just think that, and I like him, but good grief, dude.
Yeah.
He thinks they're going to still play. And the Big Ten, Kamish came out and said, yeah, no, you're not. Not if you want to be a part of the Big Ten.
You want that $50 million we give you every year?
I mean, where does he think they're
go
going?
5-7?
Where does he think they're going to go?
Well, this is what I said yesterday, this idea that you're going to get this mass exodus of players are going to transfer and teams are going to go off on their own. It doesn't. Welcome to reality. There's contracts and there's money involved, and you don't just unwind all of these things and say, well, I'm just going to go do my own. It doesn't work that way. It's like you can be married and be like, you know what? I'm tired of you and I'm leaving. Sure. But, you know, there get to be lawyers involved and you get to split assets and you have to go through those things. You don't just get to say, I'm done. Get out of my house. It doesn't work that way.
I have one other college football note before our next segment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that I think I've learned that Mike Yam got fired today.
You are correct.
The Yammer.
The Yammer.
From the Pac-12 Network. Now, it doesn't really say that he got fired.
Yeah.
He just put a note on Twitter that said, hey, thanks for all the memories, and I loved my job, and
well, there's no,
I'll see you later.
There's no Pac-12. I was talking a week or so ago to the great Jill Savage, Fight Club.
Is she still there?
She's moving. She's moving because there's no... She's
so the Pac-12 Network is essentially
gone
not...
for right now. I mean, it's...
Yeah, so what, a bunch of furloughs? Yeah, or is everybody getting laid off? Or
what is it coming? She's moving to Texas.
Oh,
and
no.
I said, you know, what are you doing? She goes, well, I'm going to move where there's football. She's like, I'm a sideline reporter, and she knew. She goes, there's not going to be any games. Hmm. So I think a lot of the, whether this is a furlough thing, whether the Pac-12 Network shuts down. Look, the thing was a disaster in the you know, from the get-go. Does it even come back? We have no idea, but it does sound like Mike Yam and some others at the Pac-12 Network. I mean, they're not going to get paid while there's no studio shows. So
the Yammer.
I would like to believe that if the Pac-12 Network comes back, that they would rehire Mike Yam. Dude, that guy is about as good a representative for the Pac-12 as you could get. Like, who doesn't love the Yammer? He's like the nicest guy in the world, and he does a good job. But you know, I'm sure cost cutting right now for the conference is kind of a big deal. And the amazing part is good thing Larry Scott still makes what is it, like $5 million a year, more than any other commissioner.
I'm going to lobby to get Yam in here to replace you.
Ooh.
How do you feel about that?
You know what? If I am going to get fired for someone.
That's a guy you'd bow down to?
Yeah. Like, hey, what do you, Suk, you're being replaced by the Yammer. You're like, It's like if your wife comes and tells you that she's leaving you, but she's leaving you for like Jason Momoa or something. You're like,
What if she's leaving you for Johnny Depp? At one time, you'd be like, oh, I can't argue with that. Now you'd be like, what?
Yeah, but then he's got a private island, and, you know, what do you, you know, you don't have a private island.
So you're okay with that just because he has a private island?
I can see, I wouldn't be okay with it, but I could see why. I'd be, like, the Jason Momoa one, I'd be like, well, all right, well, I'd leave too. Depo.
Sure, if my wife came to me and said, yeah, I've fallen in love with Jason Momoa, and he actually loves me too.
Yeah. High five, right? You know, it's like, hey, good for you.
Cool,
it's,
get some of that dough.
Yeah.
Send it my way.
Send me a little cheddar. Depp, I would initially be hurt, then I'd be angry, and then I'd be like, dude, that guy's a druggie, and you know, he's going to abuse you, and he's a drunk, and then I'd be like, yeah, it's Johnny Depp. Like, he's in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, got his own, fine, what are you going to do?
I get the appeal, but...
I would begrudgingly accept it. You know, it's, again, am I really going to compete against Johnny? He's Johnny Depp. What have you ever done? You've hosted this show with Captain Chuckles over here for 15 years.
I haven't blown all my money, and I don't have a drug or alcohol problem. That's a start.
Well,
I'm more stable than Johnny Depp is. Yeah, he didn't have any money.
Oh, he's still rich.
Dude, he is in bankruptcy court.
But that's rich guy bankruptcy court.
Yeah, he's going to keep renting like $30,000 a month houses. And
sure.
Dude, he ain't going to have anything.
That's like the Scottie Pippen broke, where it's like you owe like $50 million, but you're worth, you know, $35 million. So you just file bankruptcy and you still live in a mansion.
All right. Well, somebody asked us the fan text line, 503-250-1080. How bad is it for the Pac-12 if they sit out and it goes well for the Big 12?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I don't know. I mean,
look,
it is what it is. Yeah. It's like they'll all be back next year, hopefully.
Sure.
And we'll forget this.
Yeah.
It's just they're going to lose out on that revenue. Mm-hmm. The question is going to become, and I heard Barry Alvarez talking about this. He's the head cheese at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hopefully we don't have to cut any sports. You know, these big schools, maybe they can weather this, you know, make some cuts, get through it, be back next year, and it all, you know, gets back to normal. But then some smaller schools like Oregon State or Washington State are going to have a little bit more trouble. They're going to have to be leaner and meaner.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Is it that bad for them? I don't know.
I think
that bad.
In regards like this idea
they're
that
staying safe.
Exactly. Like this idea that recruits are just going to just automatically bail and then you're going to have these. I think that stuff is fear mongering.
Well, it's just the lost revenue, right?
It's the lost revenue.
And the other schools will be getting some revenue because they will be on TV.
But you're still going to have huge losses.
So that's a big.
Yeah. Look, one is going to bleed and one it could possibly bleed out. I mean, there's going to be some programs that are in serious trouble. I mean, even the big programs are talking about losing. What we had John Wilner said, but just assume about $75 million, right, across the board.
So I guess the question, based on his question, is if you are Oregon, mm-hmm. let's just use Oregon as an example, and you no longer have $75 million coming in this year, but West Virginia, because they are playing games, does. How far does that set you back when everything gets back to normal?
I think for football and basketball, for the bigger schools, I think it'll be an impact. It's not. I don't think it's going to be as big as we want to make it.
It's just it impacts them for that budget.
Yes,
for that year.
For that year, but you still have your coaches in place. You still have your facilities. You still are being able to recruit. Oregon's not going to go from like being the fourth or fifth best recruiting class, and all of a sudden they're going on the recruiting trail, and kids are going to be like, well, I'm not going to go there because if there's another global pandemic, they're going to shut them down. Now, come on.
Well, but you also have, like, I mean, if football doesn't play, then none of the other fall sports are playing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to pay for them anyway.
Yeah.
So, right? Like, aren't those costly? Those are expenses. Those, sure. You don't make money on volleyball and all that. So, yes.
So there
none
will,
of that.
There will be some savings there.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a huge financial hit. But look, the Big 12 schools aren't all of a sudden just going to rise up, or the ACC schools. That North Carolina State, because they're going to get $25 million, isn't all of a sudden going to become a top 10 team and the recruits are going to flood to NC State. Stop that. That's just
That.
It's fear mongering. It's what we're going to do here. We're going to bang this drum and say that this is the end of the Big Ten and the end of the Pac-12, and it's just not the case. Now,
it's the Big 12!
It may be the end of some non-revenue-generating sports. That's the crappy part.
Wrestling?
Wrestling and baseball and men's volleyball and stuff like that. I could see programs, especially the smaller ones,
right,
go through there and have to make those tough choices.
What do countries with the best virus responses have in common? Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:22. Coming up in our next segment, as you may have guessed if you listen to us ever, it is In the News, where we have the latest COVID numbers. And something super cool is reopening.
Ooh.
Yes.
Excited about that.
Yes. But, you know, some things are... Okay, so it's interesting, and we can talk about this next segment too, but when things reopen, sometimes, depending on what it is, it's cool. And then other times you're like, I'll kind of just wait until everything's, you know, like normal.
Sure. I've done that with the gym so far.
Like the zoo, maybe.
Yeah.
Is one where it's like, yeah, the zoo's cool, but.
Yeah, I don't need
during
to.
COVID?
Yeah. Well, it's all like eat, you know, restaurants were that way, right, when they first opened up. Gyms are opened up right now in Washington for the first time, and I haven't gone yet. There's a little bit of like, just, you know, I'll wait a little bit. But there's other things that if they opened up, you know, some people, like, as soon as Vegas opened up or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Disney World, they're like, well, Vegas. Hell, I'm going. It's worth it. It's a risk reward sort of thing.
Okay, what do countries with the best virus responses have in common? I asked that question as I teased this segment.
Yeah.
This was in Forbes. I saw this article. Somebody says, I'll take unified leadership for $500, Alex. you would be wrong.
No, See, that's where I would think, because the...
Well, kind of. That's kind of right.
We've got 50 different responses to the virus in the study development. It's hard to all get on the same page when you got 50 people making those decisions.
Another one says, Oregon has really good shot... Oh, wait.
What?
Countries with good COVID responses don't have the dumbest leader in the history of the world calling the shots. Would you care to comment on that?
Nope.
Why not?
No, I will not.
Man... This is a new you.
Nope. Not going to take the cheese.
Why?
Not going to take the bait.
You're a Trumpy, aren't
not
you?
Not gonna. 1,000 points of light. Not gonna.
Sook's a Trumpy.
Did you see the Trumpy bear? Have you seen the Trumpy bear yet?
No.
Boy, you got it.
That's
been
a Trumpy
bear. It's
now.
Been out for a while, but
what's
it's they're running ads again for it now. Like, as if you just.
It's a great gift for your home.
Yeah, you just got to see the commercials.
It's real.
It looks like
that
an
is real?
It looks like an SNL parody, but it is not.
It is 100% real.
It is 100% real commercial that has started to run again as we ramp up.
$19.95 for a teddy bear?
Well, it's so much more.
Or four payments of $9.99 or whatever.
Plus two easy payments.
Two easy payments.
Well,
I think you get a second bear if you just pay separate process and handling. It's two for the price of one.
Who gets shipping and handling?
What?
Who gets all the shipping and handling?
The company. I mean, that's That's how you take something that's, you know, $19.
Do they separate it into shipping and handling?
I think it's one thing. It's just one universe. Except they on these they get you for the process and handling. Process and shipping and handling. Just a separate charge to be about 60% of the original bear.
Countries with the best coronavirus response have one thing in common. This will surprise you, or it shouldn't surprise you. Women leadership.
Oh.
Women.
What? That guy down in Brazil is an old man.
Ladies.
Yeah. Who runs the world? You know, doing a little Beyonce song here.
If you're looking for examples of true leadership in a crisis, from Iceland to Taiwan and from Germany to New Zealand, women are stepping up to show the world how to manage a messy patch for our human family.
No, don't tell that to an angry middle-aged white guy in Arizona, probably wearing wraparound Oakleys. I'm guessing oversized basketball shorts. There's going to be a sleeveless T-shirt involved. Probably some New Balance sneakers, I'm guessing, at some point. Don't tell him that. He ain't listening to no woman. What are you talking about?
If you add in Finland, Iceland, and Denmark, the pandemic is revealing very clearly that women have what it takes when the heat rises in our houses of state. Now,
are we surprised?
No, you should not be surprised by that at all, in my opinion.
New Zealand Prime Minister is awesome, apparently.
Look, basically, men are going to be the downfall of all humanity. I think we've known that for a while. It's just, hopefully, we can evolve and get out of our own way. But women will be the savior. That is clear.
Yeah, men, look, we do some stuff.
We're idiots.
We've got some problems.
And now a lot of people are going to say, well, these are small countries, or, you know, they'll find ways to try to dismiss this. But Germany is quite large, yes, and leading the way. And the UK is an island with very different outcomes. These leaders, they're, you know, like Angela Merkel or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
She's in Germany. And then, I can't pronounce all these names.
No, you can't.
But look, the best countries, every one of the best countries, Denmark, Iceland, Finland, Germany, New Zealand, Norway, Taiwan, is run by a woman.
See, this is where you're wrong, because you said the best countries, and we know the best country, USA, USA. And I'm with this guy. Women are the devil's work. I read the Bible. USA, USA. I saw what that Eve did, your evil temptress. She was, give me back my rib.
Part of the reason I read that is to see all the sexist responses that will be piling in now on our text line. At 503-250-1080. Don't hold back, guys.
No.
Let it rip.
Just let it go.
Let's just prove our point that men are going to be the downfall of humanity.
Although, look, I will say that the pandemic has brought out the worst in people, but the Karens are just as bad as the Chads.
So three reasons why women are effective. Do you care to, in this particular instance, do you care to guess what those three, what they have laid out?
Oh, God. I wouldn't even begin to, I mean...
You don't want to sound sexist.
Well, I mean, is it their ability to, like, compartmentalize?
One is love.
Oh, okay. Compassion, love.
Yes. You know, women.
A more nurturing sort of yes. You know, vibe.
Yes. Two is their use of technology.
Okay.
And three is their decisiveness.
I was going to say their lack of penis envy. I think that was... I think guys, like, what's between our legs gets in our way a lot. I think we get a lot of big energy and we decide to yell and scream a lot.
We talk about balls, have the balls to make a decision. Yeah. I hate reactionary leadership, right? Like, just have conviction. Yeah. You may not always be right, but hey, here's what I think we should do. I'm in charge, and so let's do this. I feel like it will be the best path forward. Oh, but wait, let's see what everybody else does, because I don't want to get criticized. Women have stepped up all around the world and been the first to shut down.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Well, again, I think we...
it's not amazing.
I think we as men, I think we make a lot of... we make a lot of bold, dumb choices because we're men. I'll just say that, and I'll leave it at that.
But aren't we supposed to be, like, strong and tough and decisive?
And I think that...
Women are far more tough and decisive than men are.
My personal belief is that sort of thinking, that we're strong and tough and I'll just punch my way through this. I think that leads to the dumbest decisions that humanity could ever make.
They also have a study. I can get to this later because we got to go. But did you know that they studied who is refusing to wear masks? And this will stun you. This will be a stunning turn of events. It isn't women.
No. Oh, again, I'm going to go.
Men.
I'm going to go with middle-aged men wearing exactly what I said.
Well, I don't think it gets that specific.
Okay. Well, again, if you see any of those videos, they all look the same. And then when you look at their like Twitter profile, it's all that weird closey selfie that they took in their truck, and they're wearing glasses, and it's all the.
But it's men.
Yeah.
And it's mainly American men. This is a worldwide study.
What?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Guys.
I'm shocked. Oh wait, no, I'm not.
All right. Let's get to in the news coming up next. The COVID numbers and something cool reopens. We'll get to all of that when we return. But first, Mike has SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're plowing right along here, guys.
We're plowing? That's what we're doing?
Well, I think we are.
All right. I'm ready to plow.
You have a problem with that?
No.
Bitch.
Someone said, when does... said the soy boy hour. When did this start? Well, just
soy boy, what's that mean?
I'm guessing that's some sort of emasculating.
It's a term for
I think
Suk is alluding to.
Soy boy. All I think of is Toy Boy. You remember Toy Boy?
Toy Boy.
Toy Boy. You remember Toy Boy?
I don't.
He was Santa's helper on that. I don't know, it might have been a Midwest thing, but that was a show around Christmas. They'd have Toy Boy and he'd always, you know, you don't remember Toy Boy?
I don't remember Toy Boy.
And he'd like flip his hat around and stuff.
No.
How about that? One of the rare pop culture references that Suk doesn't know.
No.
And Rob does know.
It might have just been regional. I don't know if you all had it out here, but
I just know that my manliness is it's devastated now by.
Well, I told you they
such a soy
by
boy
being
guy.
Called soy boy.
I told you they'd be coming in.
I do love
from all the tough guys out there.
My favorite thing is when tough guy challenges your man card or masculinity.
Do you know what those tough guys never understand? What they think, what I think is always funny about guys like that.
Yeah.
That they ooze insecurity.
Yes.
Like they don't know that, but it's just so obvious to women too. Yeah. Like women laugh at guys like they think they're being all like, oh yeah, she must want me. Yeah, no, she's laughing at you because you appear so insecure.
That's called the paper tiger right there. And yes, it is.
It's quite common, too.
It's absolutely wonderful.
Isn't that a thing? Have they studied that?
Where's your man card?
the man card. That's a classic.
I do so enjoy that.
Well, anyway, it is August 12th, 2020. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Today is the 225th day of the year, which means we only have 141 days left in this godforsaken year.
Thank heavens. Can we please take it out back and shoot it and just end it? Or get a net and a sledgehammer and put it out of its gall darn misery.
Baseball Fans Day.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't even realize I got my Mets hat.
There you go.
Yeah. Not real proud of it because, well, the Mets suck rocks. But
Juan Soto hit a massive home run against your team in the first inning.
The Mets are great.
They're losing again?
That's a 466-foot home run.
That's what they do, is they just lose and opt out. Stroman's gone. Cespedes is gone. It's only a matter of time before other players opt out as well.
Hey, we never talked about that, but Cespedes left. Didn't even tell him.
No. And then...
which is not necessarily true, by the way.
Yeah,
that's not true.
Well, there's a whole...
Yeah, the report is that the Mets were told that
he was
leaving.
Mets are winning 4-3 in the first.
Suck it, Mike.
How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, suck it, Mike.
Apparently the Mets were told and then made a big deal about them not knowing where he was.
Yes, because it's,
because
the,
it's
most
the most Mets,
Mets
thing of all
thing
time.
Ever.
Let's lie and say Cespedes was the one who just left.
And God, then, the Mets.
And then Stroman waited until he had enough games to accrue a season to become a free agent and then left. He's opted out.
Smart.
Yeah, I mean,
all right.
I don't want to be a Met anymore. And I can't blame him.
It is also National Middle Child Day.
Mm. Go Stacy.
So you're the youngest?
I am the youngest.
And then you have Stacy, and then you have John's the oldest.
The mysterious Stacy Sukanik, who we're not sure if she really exists, but, you know, it's more of a myth at this
point.
So
is the middle child, like, what are the traits of middle children? Like, what do they say?
The Jan Brady. Well, I think they're the ones that kind of get lost
in
the shuffle.
Get lost, yeah. Aw.
Yeah, right? Because they're, like, they're not acknowledged because the oldest gets, you know, the oldest is the most responsibility, the youngest is babied and loved, and then the middle child is just kind of...
Oh, wait, there's another one?
Oh, yeah, there is another one.
That's the kid that gets called... So if you have three kids, the middle child is the one that gets called the other two names before they get that child's name, right?
Exactly.
Right. Jace, John, Stace?
I don't know. But it also, on the plus side, they build strong friendships and relationships. They have great... they're great mediators.
Okay, I can see that.
Because they have to play the go-between. They're easygoing because they get stepped on their entire lives. They're innovative because they have to come up with solutions to be seen. Mm-hmm. And they tend to be more independent. So those are some of the good things about being a middle child. You're just emotionally crippled, that's all.
Right.
Yeah.
It's good balance.
So, you know, it's big.
All right, new COVIDs in Oregon, 258 today.
I think that's good.
Apaya!
Seven new deaths, so 258. So we're not in the 400, three or 400s anymore.
Yeah, seven's not good, though. We don't want seven deaths. That's bad.
Okay. Multnomah Falls is reopening.
Oh, okay. I haven't been to Multnomah Falls in quite some time.
It's a waterfall.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of those that you only go if someone's in town and wants to go see it.
My wife and I went up there last fall.
Did you?
We hiked up there.
You're just like, yeah.
And we looked at the water.
Yeah. Okay. It's the water.
Cool, man. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
I've seen it many times.
There's a lot of people up there, though.
That's kind of my thing, is it's like, normally if I want to go hiking, I don't want to be around 8 gajillion other people.
Now, here's what they're going to do. Phase one is first come, first serve. So they will let no more than 300 people view the falls for the day, and you can only go to that viewing platform up there.
Yeah.
So you line up in a socially distanced queue, and you wait your damn turn.
See, I'm sorry, but this just sounds... It just sounds so stupid.
Phase two, which they hope to have through in a couple weeks, will allow for ticketed reservations a day in advance, and then at that point, they'll allow 300 per hour to view the mighty Multnomah Falls.
Yeah.
Hopefully COVID is not splashing around in there.
Yeah. Hey, I want to go check out nature and stand in a line with a queue and people. No.
But see, this was my point. Like, some things that are reopening, you're like, nah,
no.
I'll just wait until COVID's over.
Sure.
Multnomah Falls would be one of those. It's like, I don't like that. The protocol, it's just like, what a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are other things that are open that, you know, you may be inclined to just go ahead and power through the COVID stuff and just wear a face mask. And
I've got a friend of mine is in the music business, so she's not working right now because, well, there's no music business. And she is just driving around the country with no plan, no nothing, is just traveling around. And she said this a couple times. She's gone to like Yellowstone or some of like the big national parks or whatever. And she gets there and just turns right around and is like, I'm going to go find something else because there's just so many people and because of the restrictions and the distancing.
Yeah.
So a lot of those places, she's just doing like a little kind of running blog like on Instagram. And it's interesting to see kind of this sort of thing where it's like you're trying to go outside and being around everything in parks, but so is everyone else. And because of the restrictions, it really, you don't get the experience of being outdoors in nature, and it's not serene or anything. It's just, it's stressful because you're packed in with a bunch of people waiting in line to see a waterfall.
Yeah, that brings me to my next story, which is about Crater Lake. And we actually were at Crater Lake a couple of weekends ago because I had never been, you know, I've been here 20 years. I'd never been to Crater Lake.
Yeah.
And I finally went, and because we were on our way back from camping, which was just a delight.
I'm sure it was.
But, they're now saying, the superintendent of Crater Lake, Craig Ackerman, is saying that he is concerned that visitors are ignoring signs prohibiting the use of gear that could result in invasive species being introduced into the lake. Basically, people are going ape bleep up at Crater Lake. They're getting in the water. They're violating. You're not supposed to be in the water. Yeah. You're not supposed to go down there. And they, people are.
Okay.
You don't seem concerned, but you should be. Rangers are attempting to turn back people with illegal items.
So we're basically just, and once again, we're trashing a beautiful, serene place.
And it is busy up there. I didn't expect it to be that busy. It was like, oh my God.
Well, same thing. Like
everybody was masked, but.
Well, we looked at going camping because there's nothing else to go do. And we looked at like Detroit Lake and we looked at, you know, all these different, you know, campgrounds or whatever. You are shoulder to shoulder. They are packed. There is nothing available. And that just seems miserable to me.
Well, what else are you going to do?
I don't know, man. But I honestly, I'd rather sit in my backyard and drink than go sit out in the woods with 1,000 other people and like you're talking about at Crater Lake. That defeats the whole purpose of being outside and being out in nature.
Private boats are not allowed on the lake, but there have been reports of visitors using water rings, inflatable kayaks, inner tubes, small rafts, snorkeling, and scuba gear, and even an 8-person raft that was in the lake. Many people are also taking dogs, which are banned because they might unknowingly transmit invasive species that could irreversibly contaminate the water. Several incidents of illegal climbing in the caldera have been reported. I saw a guy doing that when I was there.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to do that. He just walked right by the sign and crawled down there for pictures.
Again, in a stunning development, we don't give a rip about anything, and we just go and we lay waste to wherever, you know, this is what we do.
I thought about just going and shoving him, but then he would have died. So I chose not to.
Seems to be a bit of an extreme thing.
Seven people were cited Friday after illegally climbing inside the caldera and triggering a large search effort. God, people are so dumb.
Yeah.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Nope, we cannot.
So, anyway, that's what's happening at Crater Lake. It's popping down there.
Sounds like a wonderful time. I can't wait to go down. Oh, wait. Yeah, I can. I'm good.
Do you want to participate in a COVID vaccine trial because it's coming to Portland?
Nope. I do not.
We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
This is a new track called Veronica from Kajinja.
Love these guys. So talented.
I'm trying to read who... Kajinja?
Yeah.
Veronique?
Yeah, like Veronica, but in French.
I like their old stuff a little better.
Is this French metal?
I believe they are from France, or at least Montreal.
I feel like they've sold out a little bit. It used to be about the metal. Now it's just, you know, it's kind of become commercialized and, you know.
I'm supposed to hate everything from France, right? Isn't that true?
Why?
Since I'm in America.
You have to hate to...
Yeah.
Really? If you don't hate everything from France, you're a soy boy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Freedom fries.
That's right.
Why did we hate the French so much? Like, what was
weren't
that?
Weren't they weenies? Like, they didn't want to get involved.
They were neutral.
Yeah.
Over, I don't, I,
they were
I
just, a bunch of
I
soy
remember,
boys.
Was that we, like, was that
do we
the,
hate Switzerland, too, because they're neutral?
Nah, they got good mountains.
I just remember, for whatever reason, like, we had to call them freedom fries and,
France,
you know.
Also,
yeah, I'm supposed to hate.
Doesn't
France did come up with democracy, so.
We're supposed to hate them.
Then they sent us the Statue of Liberty as a gift.
Well, and they saved our asses in the Revolutionary War. So,
true. Yeah.
I will say.
Why do we hate the French again?
That stereotype about the French being rude.
Yeah. Oh, have you ever been to Montreal?
I have,
dude,
yeah.
They are D's up there.
Yeah.
Canada is like the friendliest place on earth.
It's a real thing.
But
I mean,
they
look,
are. Boy, they are.
You hate to stereotype, but look, the stereotype about Americans is true in general. And the stereotype about the French is true.
Yeah.
They're rude, man. They don't give an S.
Is that the same stereotype as us?
We're loud and obnoxious. Yeah. It's all about us. Like, we're very like, you know, we want the red carpet rolled out for it.
Sure.
The French just barrel roll right through everything. They're just like, I'm French, get out of here.
We assume that everything about America is the best and that no one else could do anything better than us. And we're American, so F you.
And we're very loud.
Yes.
And we dress funny.
Yeah.
To the rest of the world, we dress funny.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with our...
And we got a lot of guns, too.
Cargo shorts.
Whenever I travel, people see... That's the number one stereotype is everyone from... not everyone, but a lot of other countries truly believe, especially in the East, that we just all walk around like John Wayne. That you just got a gun strapped to your hip, ready to go at any given time.
Things would be safer.
That's true.
If we did.
That's right.
Kaiser Permanente is participating in... a late-stage trial for a COVID-19 vaccine. So patients will be recruited locally and start receiving injections as early as next week.
Oh.
I hear they're looking for big bald guys named Jason.
I'm going to go ahead and pass. These people are, you know, God bless them. I'm glad they're out there, you know, because we need these people. But
lab monkeys?
I don't know what you get, like $25 or whatever and like maybe a cookie and some juice. But yeah, I'm not signing up to stick a virus in me that may or may not be harmful and that I may or may not know that it's going to harm me for, you know, years. I'll pass.
I like to try to be a good member of society.
Yes, you do.
But
you're not doing this
in this instance. I too shall pass. Yeah. Mike, you're up. Mike will take it.
Yeah. How much am I getting paid for it?
It's not much, man.
Yeah, no, they might give you like $15.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
You okay with that?
No.
Patients will be recruited locally. In the phase 3 double-blind trials, half the participants will receive the vaccine while the other half receive a placebo. Participants will not know whether they've received the vaccine or the placebo.
Question.
Answer.
Shoot.
If you receive the vaccine, I know you don't know, are you supposed to, like, go out and flaunt no mask to see if it works? Like, how do you find out if it works?
Yeah. I don't know.
Because, like, the rules are all out there. Like, you're not supposed to go anywhere without a mask on, so.
Well, what does that have to do with?
Well, if you take the vaccine and it works and you don't catch it, then isn't that the whole point of the trial? Or is the trial for something else?
Yeah, I don't know, man. So the goal is to enroll up
to
30,000 participants at more than 120 sites around the world.
Does that blow me? I guess it...
Does it what?
Does it blow, does I don't it blow think you it, away that you get that many people? 30,000 people are willing...
Well, they blew him.
They're part of the bonus rewards program. That you get that many people to take a unproven vaccine and for really no...
It's phase three.
No money.
Well, money, you're doing it for the common good.
Yeah, I'm out.
You're not interested in the common good?
I am interested in the common good. I'm not interested in having my liver fail.
What if this?
6 months after the fact because you put something unproven in my body.
What if the side effect, the main side effect, was hair growth?
And
you got hair.
Heartbeat.
You would do it?
Yes. I've been waiting because you see those drug ads. First off, I don't understand. I'm going to get on and rant and a tangent. I'm sorry. What?
No, you're not.
Why, when you go into your doctor's office, like those commercials, it's like, ask your doctor about Centralia, whatever random, drug you're taking.
Did you just name a drug after a city in Washington?
Well, that's what they all look like, or that's what they all sound like, just some random town in the middle of nowhere, right? Shouldn't my doctor be asking me about that? Why am I going to my doctor? It's like, hey, I have lupus. Hey, I saw a commercial. I was watching Chappelle's Show reruns, and I saw a commercial. Shouldn't my doctor be aware of what the latest drugs are? And I'm like I'm waiting for one of those. The main side effect to be, you're going to experience hell growth. Sign me up. But those things, like all the side effects, are worse than the actual disease. And why is everyone in those commercials so happy? Someone's got like the worst disease known
because
to man.
They're going to distract you from all the terrible side effects that they're reading in the middle of the commercial. Hence why the scenes are interesting.
Yeah, it's got some lady and she's running through a field of daisies.
Oh, look at that field of daisies. Ignore the fact that they're saying could result in death.
It just blows my mind. Do these things work? I mean, they have to because you're spending all this money on advertising. But no, man, I'm good. I need to take a bunch of random drugs.
Did you know Detlef Schrempf was from Centralia?
I did not know that.
Yeah,
but I feel like if you've got some sort of rash or whatever, ask your doctor about Centralia. It'll solve it. You won't have a rash anymore. You'll have some anal leakage and your nipples will be sore and you might have a heart attack and die, but it's going to solve the rash.
Do you remember Lyle Overbay?
I do not remember Overbay.
Former first baseman.
From Centralia, Washington. Mm.
There's a decent...
him from the Blue Jays.
There's a decent Chinese restaurant in Centralia that I've pulled into a time or two. It's not the only reason I've ever driven even through Centralia.
Well, that's it. You may get a call from Kaiser.
No, I'm good. I haven't been getting a call to buy my home lately. Getting a lot of these, hey, we're looking to buy a home in your neighborhood, cash.
Yeah, I get those too. What is that about?
I don't know. And how do you get my
number?
That
feels like a scam.
Those aren't real, are they? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure some of them are, but...
Well, yeah, it's just people...
They just want to rip you off.
Yeah.
I'll give you cash, but it'll be half of the value. But hey, it's cash.
I've gotten three of those, like, in the last 2 weeks. But no vaccine.
I get those flyers all the time.
No vaccine.
They try to make them look like they're handwritten just to you, but they're photocopied and sent to thousands of people.
I've been getting text messages.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's like, hey, Jason.
Realtors.
And I'm like, what? And they're like, we'd like to buy your home. I'm like, huh?
Is the name Jason capitalized? It's like, hey, Jason.
Yes. Yeah, all caps. My son got one today, by the way. He came to me. I was on the phone. And he came down like he was all concerned. And he's like, Dad. I was like, just delete it, man. Like, it's good.
You know, I bet if you cast a wide net with those and you have a bunch of cash or a group that's put a bunch of cash together, I bet you there are people that are like, yes, finally, here, take it. I don't have to go through a realtor. I'll just take, you know
especially
what I mean?
Now in COVID, if people are hurting or you're
and then they'll just totally rip you off. You don't even know it. And it's like, you think you had made a great deal. You probably, I bet you that stuff can work.
I guess.
You know how the olds are.
Well, my thing is, if you're doing it, obviously it's like the medical commercials. I'm baffled, but they obviously work and move product. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on TV every 4 seconds.
That's right. That's right. In the news, August 12th, guys. Hot 5 at 5 coming up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.